What's up, OAUXers? Today, we are continuing the Orca series with a close look at attribute requirements, wrapping up the requirements round. Woo! It's a doozy. So if you haven't caught up with the series, you might want to do that. You can go to oaux.com/hi/orca series. Link will be in the show notes if you want to catch up with all the 7 past episodes in this series. We are at number 8 here, finishing up the requirements round, like I just said. Yeah, with attribute requirements. So before we get into it, I've got a quick announcement for you. 15 advanced moves. The advanced training is happening this weekend, March 1st and 2nd, like tomorrow. And the day after tomorrow. You can still sign up. This is for students of the OAUX Masterclass, like the OAUX Masterclass, the signature course, that big 22-hour course. If you are already in that, and if you are wrapping up that course and you're wanting more, go to oaux.com/advanced moves. And even if you're not listening to this in real time, which you're probably not, you're probably a future person, and you're still interested, go ahead and check out that URL. I probably have got some goodies there for you. So if you are interested in this content, oaux.com/advanced moves. Okay. So like I said, this is definitely for folks that are enrolled in the OAUX Masterclass and wrapping it up, or if you're certified, oh my gosh, if you are certified and looking to level up, please do not miss this, all right? This is such a good opportunity. So during the session, I'm going to be giving my best advanced golden nuggets for each step of the Orca process. So that is going to be these 15 lessons over 2 half-day sessions, so a Friday session and a Saturday session. A seat is only $350, so do the math. That is $23 per golden nugget that can be completely help revolutionize how you are doing UX and really grease the wheels and how you are able to implement the Orca process. So, for example, for the attribute requirements, all right, so that's what we're talking about today. Just for the attribute requirements, we're going to be going deep into relative attributes. So if you've been in the OAUX Masterclass, you know that is a sticky one. We're going to be talking about what relative attributes are, how to leverage them, why it's important to be getting into relative attributes, and we're going to be going over some of the trickier pieces of relative attributes and how they have this very, very special connection with junction objects that we're going to be exploring. So, if that sounds like your idea of fun, love you. You are an absolute huge nerd, and you belong in this session. So oaux.com/advanced moves. Again, even if you're not listening to this in real time, still go check it out. Okay, let's go ahead and roll the intro music, and then I will see you on the other side, and we will jump into this episode on attribute requirements. Welcome to the Object-Oriented UX Podcast, a podcast about tackling complexity head-on, gracefully organizing massive amounts of information, and designing scalable, future-proof, and of course, naturally intuitive object-oriented user experiences. An OAUXer is a powerful blend of information architect, business analyst, facilitator, and UX strategist. If this sounds like you or what you aspire to, you are so in the right place. I'm Sophia Prater, UX designer, chief evangelist of Object-Oriented UX, and your host. Let's jump into it. Okay, y'all, attribute requirements. You might want to take notes for this one. This is a juicy one. So to just recap the requirements round, all right, we've defined our objects in an object guide. Yay! We've picked apart our relationships using my Cat Saving Fire department. We've expanded our CTA matrix into these beautiful object-oriented user stories. And now we're going to really blow up our attributes, okay? In a good way. Blow up sounds bad. Like, we're going to, like, fractal our attributes, okay? We're going to put them under a microscope, whatever metaphor works for you. So as a reminder, at this point in the process, we are usually in some sort of spreadsheet. In the OAUX world, at least at this time of the recording, we really like Notion and Airtable. We provide those templates in the OAUX Masterclass, but stay tuned. We're likely going to be offering a pack of templates or like an a la carte option. We're still working on that. We're still kind of going through some iterations and really just want to get it in a really good place before we actually open that up as an offering for you. So how do you stay tuned for this? If you are interested in getting those templates that are just are really wonderful to have during the requirements round, you can make sure you're in the OUX forum because we'll be talking about it there. So that's forum.oux.com, and you should be in that community anyway, totally free to join. And then, of course, there's the newsletter. So that's oux.com/newsletter. You'll get, if you have, don't have it already, if you're not signed up for the newsletter, you get a whole 55-page OUX launch guide, which has got so much value in it. That is absolutely free. And then, of course, you'll be one of the first to know when we come up with these, when we start offering up these templates. So, okay. But we don't need to worry about those templates right now because I'm just going to be verbally kind of talking you through the kind of questions that we ask in the requirements round. So I'm going to be digging into some of the main attributes that I reviewed in my episode on attribute discovery, which we will link in the show notes. But of course, you can go to oux.com/hi/orca series and see all those. But that's going to be the Orca series number 4. So go ahead and, well, do you need to, I don't think you need to go back to that if you haven't listened to that, but it might be helpful. And there's a, in that episode, there's a downloadable of an attribute discovery guide, which is, but I'm not going to be going over all of them. I'm just going to be going over some of them. So anyway, you might want to build on that past episode. But we're going to be going over the kinds of questions that we ask for core content and metadata. So I think I talked about this. I probably did in that episode, that number 4 episode. But let me go ahead and talk a little bit more about core content versus metadata, because I've got actually something new for you that I've started thinking about a little bit more. So if you've already heard me talk about core content versus metadata, stick around. I've got like another lens to look at it with that has been very helpful for me, actually. Okay, so core content, or those are our unique identifiers for each object instance. Okay, so it's gonna say, like, this is how this instance is different than this instance. So it's gonna be descriptions, images, all those unique identifiers. So each instance would have a different value. So if you're thinking about a person, like a real in-person person, for you, your unique identifiers are your name, your face, your bio, like your story, right? That nobody else has your story, right? It's completely unique to you. Metadata is going to be the stuff that we sort and filter and group by, okay? So that's for a person, that's going to be like your interests, your shoe size, your favorite color, your hometown, your birthday, your astrological sign, your Enneagram, or your human design if you're into that stuff. It's just ways to group people, okay? If person is the object, okay? So that's we in OUX, we put core content on yellow sticky notes, we put metadata on pink sticky notes, and it we find it very, very helpful to separate those attributes, okay, for lots of different reasons. So one of those reasons is we do talk about this in the masterclass quite a bit, but we talk about the separation of responsibility, like this kind of like, it's a little bit of like a blunt tool, but in general, the yellow stuff, the core content is going to be more of interest to our content strategists and our content designers, our content folks, right? And then the pink stuff, the metadata, is going to be of more of interest to our information architects, our UX designers, and our developers. Okay, so core content. Now, why? Because core content usually needs moderation. So this is the new piece that I've been toying around with in my head. So while core content needs moderation, metadata needs design parameters. Okay, so core content, if it is user generated. So we do want to think of, so source is one of the things that we get into with requirements. Where do the values come from? So when objects are instantiated and we got a bunch of instances, where do the actual values of the attribute, like who puts those values in? Is it the end user? Or is it somebody within the organization? So for core content, if it's user generated and public, it's going to need moderation likely. Okay. Core content created by the organization is going to need content strategy and it's going to need governance. Okay. Core content is usually the values are created by human more and more, not so much. All right. Metadata is going to need more of those parameters around taxonomy, labeling, and UX writing. Okay. Getting those labels really, really nice and clear. Okay. So that's just something else to think about when you're thinking about, like, does this belong on a pink sticky note or does this belong on a yellow sticky note? Okay, so let's go into some of those attributes, some of those common core content attributes. We're going to do core content first. And I'm just going to go through some questions that I love to ask for those different pieces of core content. This is not exhaustive at all. There's so much more in those templates, and we go through this, of course. I know they say this all the time, but we go through this so much more in the OUX masterclass. This is just going to give you a taste and give you an idea on how you might be able to dig into your attributes a little bit further and just ask even more really good questions and figure out if you have any blind spots and maybe start some deeper level requirements gathering. Okay, so one thing, like, and this is true for all of them, but like a name or a title, are there any requirements on uniqueness? So that is another thing to check. So if it's like a handle, how do we decide if it's unique? Do we need to check all the other, does the system need to check and make sure that it is unique? Is it okay if it's not unique? So is it okay that there's like, for example, with, in the OUX forum, I think we have a couple people like with the same exact first and last name, okay? And the system doesn't throw an error for that. They have another unique ID on the back end that actually is different. So with core content, even though theoretically everybody has, they are unique identifiers, we can determine whether whether the system is going to do a check on it and actually throw an error that it has to be completely unique. Okay, so that's something that we might want to capture. Other things like character length, that's also something that we would look at when we look at like description too. So character counts. What's up, OUXers? There is something very important that I have neglected to do in the first 50 episodes of this podcast, and that is to implore you, dear listener, for a review. So here I am, asking ever so nicely for you to drop a rating and review of the OUX podcast into either Apple Podcasts or Spotify. This can really help us spread the OUX love. So if you've gotten any value from OUX and the Orca process, which I'm assuming you have since you're here, I'd be so appreciative for a few minutes of your time. Okay, so how to do this? Don't actually go click on the rating metadata because that would be way too intuitive. On Apple Podcasts, go to the podcast detail page, scroll to the bottom, and you'll see some big stars down there that you can add stars. And then underneath that, there is another little link that says create a review. So that would be amazing. And on Spotify, you've got to do this on the mobile. On Spotify mobile, go to the 3-dot menu on that detail page and hit rate. And actually on Spotify, even on an episode detail, you can leave a comment there too. If you scroll down on the episode detail, there'll be something that says something like, how did you like this episode? And feel free to put your thoughts there. Thank you so much and happy OUXing. Another thing with description, so moving on to the description field, or the description attribute, another thing I like to look at in requirements is like also just like we go a little bit deeper too. So in discovery, I might have just put description for whatever the object is or like bio or something like that. When we loop back around in requirements, sometimes I'll end up breaking that out. And this is, again, is like really great to work with your content strategists on this. Like, is it just a description field or do we need to break this out into like 3 or 4 fields? So for like, let's say event is the object and there's a description of the event. Is it actually like, do we have like a summary and then we have a what to bring section and then we have a how to prepare section depending on whatever the platform is and whatever the solution is that we're trying to get toward? Do we need to break that out into various sections for content strategy purposes, for content governance purposes, or just to like kind of lead the user a little bit? Okay, so image. Size and ratio requirements. So how big can the image be when you're uploading it? This is something you might want to talk to your developers about, but also from a visual standpoint, also this is something that you might want to talk to your visual designers. And from a brand perspective, what are the ratios on this? Okay. And for most purposes, for an image, you want to know what that ratio is, and that ratio should be consistent across your system. please do not let somebody upload an image. And in some places it shows up in a square and stuff gets cropped. And some places it shows up in a circle. And some places it shows up like super like 16:9 landscape or something. Because from a content strategy perspective, or even like from a content creation perspective, even if it's your end user, they have to work really hard to create an image that's going to look good in all of those ratios. And this also creates some shape shifting too, that's usually pretty arbitrary. So what is the ratio? Can that ratio be consistent? All right. That's a big thing to think about when it comes to image. Images also from a governance standpoint or from a moderation standpoint, do we have any automatic checks for offensive content? From a content strategy perspective, what is the vibe of those images? Do we just do black and white images? Is there a certain filter that we need to put on the images? Do the images always have to have people? Can the image never have to have people? So there is some things that we can think about from a content strategy perspective, really on every single piece, like pretty much every yellow sticky note piece of core content, you're going to want to think through that content strategy or content governance. Alt text is another one. Does alt text, do you need alt text on the image? Or is this a decorative image where alt text probably is just going to be a bunch of junk? Do you not need that? So lots of questions we can be asking on the back end, like on the flip side of like, okay, this is the structure of the thing. It's got a name and an image and a description. Okay, tell me more about that name, image, and description. Okay, that's what we do in requirements. Okay, let's talk through some really common pieces of metadata and the kind of questions that are usually asked in the requirements round. So date and time, really common one. What format are we using for date and time? And are we using it consistently across our application? If we do want different formats for various contexts, what is the reason behind that? So do we have the date and time here with the month, and did we abbreviate the month? Like getting down to that level of detail. Do we want to show it in some places as instead of the exact date and time, we say 4 weeks ago? Watch out for this. Please watch out for this. There's so many areas where this is actually really annoying. I actually want to know the real date and it says 4 weeks ago and then I have to go to my calendar and do the math. So things like that. Do we have a 12-hour or a 24-hour? Does the user have a setting whether they can say whether it's a 12-hour or a 24-hour time on there? Do we need to add an attribute for a user setting under the user object? So sometimes this will jump us to adding actually new attributes on other objects based on how we explore the requirements within another object. Okay, so I'll actually explain that one more time because that was a lot. So let's say we have date and time on an event object and we say, okay, we're going to be able, the user's going to be able to toggle whether they want to have it on a 12-hour or a 24-hour format, okay? That would actually be on the user object. I would have an attribute on the user object for their 12 or 24-hour preference. Okay. That would be metadata on the user. So when we put preferences and settings, it's usually going to be on that user object. Okay. Another one is states or stages or statuses. In the OUX masterclass, we go into each of those in detail and kind of talk about the difference between those. But for any of those ways that we might end up grouping instances, we're going to want to actually start thinking about the actual values. So yes, this is where UX writing comes in, getting the labels or at least working labels and say like, ooh, we need to test these labels too. So what are we calling this? Do we call it submitted? Do we call it published? Like, do we call it archived or do we call it sunsetted or something like that, right? Like what are the words that we're using for these different different states and statuses? Is there any conditional logic around these? So on this stage, do we get other attributes showing up? So conditional logic is a huge piece that we end up talking about when we talk about attribute requirements. Okay, let's talk about one more. Okay, so pulse checks, like popularity that we talked about in that attribute discovery episode. So we want to get into how we're actually calculating this. Again, we want to talk to our developers here, but we also want to talk to the business about this. Like, let's just say it's popularity. Say it's popularity of an event to just go with that example. How are we, like, what is popularity? What are the mechanics around this? What other metadata attributes do we leverage? And how are those metadata attributes weighted? So is it based on how many people are going to the event? Is it based on how many page views, how many likes, how many comments? All right. Is it all of those? And do we weight them in a different way? Okay. And a really important question is, how do we expose this to our users? What does it mean for something to be trending, for example? Can we progressively disclose some sort of explanation? So, hello, UX writers, again, like, what are we showing that or not, right? Do we want to hide that? Do we want to let people know what's going on behind the scenes? And how much do we actually expose? So this also gets into user settings. Do we have an attribute on the user to be able to hide this? They want to actually not see popularity on their content or on others' content. So it just like turns into this rabbit hole of questions that you could go down. Okay. So there's so much more that we can get into with attribute requirements, but I think you get the general idea here on what we're doing. It's basically we're asking more really good questions and we're documenting these detailed, but like, super high impact requirements in our beautiful color-coded object map. And I hope you can see how the decisions behind a lot of these questions, if not all the questions that I just talked through, can make massive impacts on the user experience design. Really, really important to be asking these questions. And for so many of us who are not using the Orca process, it's just like there's no real good strategy to make sure you're asking those questions and to make sure those questions are coming up and you're doing it in a pretty systematic way where you're just kind of like making sure you don't have a whole lot of blind spots and that things don't get into production without those questions being asked and answered. So really important stuff here. If you want to go deeper into requirements, the time to enroll in the OUX Masterclass is now, okay? So if you want to go ahead, start getting into the content, start gearing up for the next certification cohort, you can go to OUX.com/masterclass. And I just want to read you what Andy Yang, a UI UX designer and certified OUXer, has to say, because I think this is really relevant to what we're talking about here. He says, OUX has brought order to the chaos that UX design can be at times. Not only is it the missing link between research and design, it's also the user manual, the treasure map, the shared source of truth that can unify a team. OUX has tremendously improved my UX of doing UX. And that is so much what attribute requirements is all about. It is this like treasure map to find this like treasure trove of questions that you can get into and new things that you need to think about. It really is, like I said, kind of in the beginning of the episode, it's like this fractal of like all we're looking at is a date and timestamp. Like, oh, so easy. Just put the date and timestamp on there. There's actually so many implications to something so simple. And no, we don't want to be overthinking it, but we don't want to be underthinking this stuff either. Okay. So, and we don't have to do this for every single, but one thing I'll say before we close up here is you don't have to do full attribute requirements for every single attribute. You want to look at the attributes that are really high ticket, that are really important, and the ones that are a little bit more crunchy or complicated and see, do we need to dig in deeper here, okay? If you can do a full attribute requirements effort, that is amazing, but often we don't have time for that. But this just gives you a way of thinking and a set of questions to ask so that when it does come up, whatever task is in front of you, whatever scope that is, you can bring some of this thinking into what you're doing. Okay, so if you're ready to dig even deeper, and if you're already enrolled in the OUX Masterclass and you're already certified, go to OUX.com/advancedmoves. All right. And I will see you tomorrow. If you're listening to this live, I will see you this weekend. And we are just going to deepen your complexity wrangling skills even further. All right, y'all. Cheers and happy OUXing. And I will see you next time. Thank you so much for listening. I truly hope you enjoyed this episode. Please visit objectorientux.com/podcast for show notes. Our soundtrack is Fighter by Ruby Vell, courtesy of Sugaroo Records. Happy OUXing!